This is a statewide conversation with Minnesota state officials. Today, we're going to be welcoming back Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. It is your opportunity to ask questions about Minnesota's response and plans during the current COVID-19 pandemic. Welcome. I'm Heidi Holton, live from the KAXC studios on the snowy banks of the Mississippi River in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. If you didn't get a chance to send or call in your question this week, you can email covid@ampers.org or call 612-562-9895. We are teaming up with the 18 community radio stations of Ampers, Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities, and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, bringing you COVID-19 information for the state of Minnesota. We will take a look at first the numbers as they are updated from the Minnesota Department of Health for today, October 23rd. The state has seen an increase in one day of 1,721 cases. And that puts our total positive tests up to 129,863. So continue to wear your mask, be safe, and keep our friends and neighbors and elders safe as well. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is back with us. Thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I wonder if we could talk a little bit about your week. I can't imagine the amount of things you did this week, but I did see that you and the governor have been focusing on the agricultural community of Minnesota. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So I've done a few farm visits, and the governor has as well. And it's been good to get outside, but also just generally to talk to folks. I think what's been so hard about COVID is certainly its impact on our ability to connect with folks beyond a computer screen. So we've been able to do that safely and in a way that's distanced as well. You know, what we're hearing from local farmers and, you know, and folks in agriculture is that, of course, this has been a struggle, just like for everyone else experiencing COVID. We've been able to provide some additional supports for folks just through funding and other things and making sure that we're helping folks to make ends meet during this time. But you know, with some of our local farmers being able to have enough workers in the fields to get the planting done, there were some delays there. Certainly, hearing about this early frost and snow that we've experienced across the state has made an impact. But we've also seen, as you know, as at Stony Brook Farm, and they have in their warehouse just a whole bunch of food that they're also sharing with Second Harvest Heartland. And it was wonderful to see that our agricultural community has also been stepping up as there's been an increase in food instability in this state as well. So, you know, it's hard out there for folks. People are having a little bit more time to plan as we're going into the next season and have a little bit better idea about what we're expecting. But, you know, it's been tough, but we're grateful that folks are willing to share their stories with us and help us to try to refine and you know, what we're doing, but also share with our congressional delegation just how important it is for folks to, you know, to receive additional support at the federal level as well.
You know, we haven't talked about it in a while, but I know we've had this conversation of so many more people who never thought that they would be food insecure are facing that this year. I wonder if you could kind of speak to folks that there is help out there.
Sure. You know, no one expected a pandemic. And, you know, we have resources that are available for folks, you know, especially around food security. There are local food banks that we are working in partnership with if you find yourself needing a little bit of extra support. But also, you know, you may qualify for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, and we'll just encourage people, you know, you can reach out to us on our website to try to connect with that additional food support to see if you qualify. There is no shame in asking for a little additional help right now. We certainly all could use it. And if you find yourself needing additional support to put food on the table, please do so. It matters tremendously, and this should not be a stress or worry that you have on top of everything else that we're all facing during COVID.
Now, I can't believe I forgot to ask you this right away, because I think last week you told us that your daughter would be deciding. We were talking about Halloween and sort of new traditions, and we heard some feedback. People really want to know what your daughter might be, what her costume's going to be.
I appreciate that. She is going to be Sally from A Nightmare Before Christmas. The hot debate in our family is she actually going to wear the wig that goes along with the costume? Because every year she puts it on and we get two or three houses down the block and she's like, it's too itchy. So my hope is that this year it actually happens. But of course, we are not going to go trick-or-treating. We will do a costume parade with some local neighborhood kids. But she's ready. And I'm going to be Vanellope von Schweetz from Wreck-It Ralph. So make sure that you check out social media, because we'll be posting our costumes there.
All right. And does your husband have a costume?
You know, he's got his go-to watermelon costume. So I assume that will be, I've tried to convince him that he should also buy a pair of overalls and he could be Ralph, right?
Sure.
But I'll let your listeners know how that goes.
Yeah. And, you know, we would love to hear from people, maybe if they have some different ideas, like you're doing the costume parade or some things they're doing in their neighborhoods or their groups safely, because Halloween's a big time of year for kids. But people are getting really creative. So we'd love to hear from you. You can leave a message at 612-562-9895 or email covid@ampers.org. Let's get to some of our listener questions from the week. Jane from the Twin Cities wrote in. She said, Lieutenant Governor, I saw your Instagram post last weekend about laying your brother's ashes to rest and honoring his life. Please accept my condolences. I was glad to see you were able to have that kind of memorial finally. Did it offer you some peace? What advice do you have to other families going through similar interrupted life celebrations? Wishing you and yours well.
Well, thank you, Jane, for that question. It was, it did provide some closure for me and for my family. And to be really candid with you, I didn't know how much I needed that. I hadn't been home since we buried my dad and had ceremony for my dad. And so, being able to be with my sister and with my nieces and nephews, and with my sister-in-law, who is my brother's wife, to share stories was really, really powerful. I just missed him, and it felt really good to be home. So, my dad, his spirit host is in the back, and we are able to put my brother's ashes right next to him. And so there's comfort in knowing that they are together, that my brother, who was born in Minnesota, lived many years in Tennessee, but, came back home to Minnesota, knowing he's there makes a big difference. So I just hope that, it's cold and outside and snowy, but it also was just what we needed. So thank you for that.
Yeah. We also had an email this week. This person said, a friend of mine who lives on the White Earth Reservation says that they are dealing with a lot of cases right now. What are you hearing about the different tribal nations? Do they have what they need going into winter?
So, one of the things that has been, in some ways a bright spot for our administration during this pandemic has been how closely we've been able to work with our tribal nations across the state. you know, but tribes are sovereign nations who are making their own decisions for responding to COVID-19. But we've been in close contact with them, of course. They've been partners in the response to the pandemic with regards to safe reopening and supporting their communities. I know that their tribal health officials and our public health officials through the Department of Health communicate on the regular. So, you know, we are seeing increases in COVID across the state. And I think it's just important to remember, especially as I was up back home, you know, that that there still is this notion that somehow COVID is something that happens in the city. And that is just not what we are seeing. COVID has reached greater Minnesota, and it's going to be really important that we continue to work with tribes to meet the needs of communities, but also the word continues to get out to folks that COVID is everywhere. You know, one of the hottest spots has been, you know, in western Minnesota, as we have, you know, folks who are traveling over from South Dakota or North Dakota. And we've also heard that there have been, you know, there have just been patients who are coming in from other states because they're at capacity. We may be at capacity as well. And so it just is a reminder that COVID does not discriminate based on where you live geographically. We are all at risk for it.
Yeah, good reminder. And it's not that hard to wear a mask or stay six right. feet away from people. I know sometimes, since I look at the numbers for like the 12 to 15 counties that our radio station covers daily, I haven't been seeing a lot of people because I'm seeing those numbers go up. And I just know that I don't necessarily trust if I were to get together with people, you kind of forget, you know, you can take your mask off or you get a little too close. And so right now, as things go up, I'm kind of just choosing to isolate again, like we did at the beginning of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's right, as we are, you know, the kind of feeling that we had maybe at the end of March or the beginning of April of being very vigilant and really feeling the weight, we actually need to feel that now. I know that everyone is fatigued by the pandemic, but especially as we got snow, and I'm currently looking at a lot of snow in my yard, that, you know, people are going to, we're not seeing the kind of spread from, you know, Target or Pomida or, you know, grocery stores. Where we're seeing it is because people are having these small gatherings and going back inside. And so I know it's hard, but you gotta do what you need to do to either, if you're going to be inside, to be masked up, or, you know, if you can make that phone call or do it over Zoom, because it's just, it is what is spreading this across the state.
You're listening to a statewide conversation on COVID-19. That's Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. We heard from Steve in Woodbury this week. He had this to say: our governor is using scare tactics to advance his agenda, infringe on our rights, and kill the economy. Facts are facts. The overwhelming majority of people who get COVID-19 end up recovering just fine. In Minnesota, we have a 99.86% recovery rate. The governor has issued a mask mandate, so there's no reason for any other restrictions on business. Open up the economy before you destroy even more small businesses.
Well, Steve from Woodbury, I hear from folks who, you know, share that perspective, especially online. So I appreciate being able to respond to this. First, I want to be really clear that recovering from COVID is so much more complicated than, you know, than whether or not you survive. And we are seeing that, you know, across the country with people who are experiencing long-term physical and neurological impacts, people who cannot function at work in the same way that they were able to before they had COVID. And because this is a novel virus, we just don't know when or if those symptoms, you know, will subside over time. It is absolutely not worth the risk. And the best thing that we can do to protect life and health and well-being is to protect ourselves and those that we love from being infected in the first place. And as far as a mask mandate goes, I'm not asking folks to wear a mask because I'm a drag, and the governor isn't either. We're asking people to wear masks because they work, but they're only one tool in our toolbox. It's not a 100% guarantee that you're not going to contract or spread COVID, especially, when masks are worn improperly, like under your nose, or inconsistently. So it is a tool, but it is not, a panacea for everything that has to go along with COVID, because we need to pair it with physical distancing, capacity limits, barriers. These are the things that help keep businesses open. But I also would just say that, there are states like Iowa that didn't have any restrictions with regards to reopening. And their economy has also suffered because people are just not going out in the same way that they did before because there is a pandemic. I appreciate that people feel angry and frustrated. I am also angry and frustrated, and I'm primarily angry and frustrated that our partner in the White House is more of a foil than a partner who is not taking this seriously. And we need additional resources, and Congress needs to act to get them to communities and states across the country so that we can support those very small businesses that Steve is concerned about.
So that sounds like you probably do not agree with, I think, the first thing that came out of President Trump's mouth last night at the final presidential debate, that we are around the corner. We've gone through and we're doing fine.
I'm not sure who he is talking to, because it certainly is not governors and lieutenant governors across the state or across the country. We are seeing our numbers go up. We are seeing our numbers of deaths go up. And, and in the Midwest in particular, we are seeing a real surge. So we are not turning the corner. And as much as President Trump says that or wishes that to be true, what we actually need is leadership and partners and investment. I will try to keep this as nonpartisan as I can, but in 11 days, everyone has a really important decision to make.
Yeah. Well, we had another email this week. You can send in questions to COVID@ampers.org. David wrote in from Northern Minnesota, and he said, I hope you'll consider a few of my questions. First, he said, Michael Osterholm is fond of using the baseball analogy. In baseball terms, what inning are we in now, would you say?
Baseball, I am a baseball fan. I'm thinking about this question. I'm like, we are absolutely not at the seventh inning stretch. I'm like, are we maybe at the top of the fourth? I'm not sure. I think we're still in the middle. We are still in the middle of this, and I don't think that we're going to see the end of the game, so to speak, until we have a vaccine that is ready to go and more widely available. So, when it comes to, baseball analogies, we're still in the game, nobody wants to here take me out to the ball game more than I do, it is the reality is that we're still in this.
Right. So David also asked, he said, if someone in Minnesota were to test positive and need hospitalization, would the drugs and the treatment that President Trump received be available to them? And if so, what would they cost?
So that's a really good question. One of the things that, you've seen the president touting Regeneron, and this is it's important to know that this is still experimental, and our goal is to make sure that folks get the kind of treatment that they need quickly. We've learned a lot about the pandemic since March. There's still a lot, of course, that we don't know, and we've gotten better at treating individuals who are hospitalized or experiencing severe symptoms. So, you know, we have some incredible, medical facilities here in the state of Minnesota that are fairly cutting edge. And, you know, our expectation is that people are going to get the treatment that they need. But the exact cocktail that President Trump has received, I don't know if that would be available to folks or, you know, even if that is the safest method of treatment. I think it's primarily up to individuals and their healthcare provider.
And finally, David had this question. He said, if someone in your family has a pre-existing mental health condition, such as clinical depression, how could COVID affect them? And what should families and healthcare providers do to help them through the pandemic?
So that's a really good question. We are in a really tough time, right? And I think you've heard the governor say that we're in for a long winter. And, Vice President Biden said that just last night. And I think the snow so early surprised a lot of people, especially folks who, you know, may battle with mental illness or seasonal affective disorder on top of COVID. Isolation is something that has been one of the most difficult pieces of COVID-19. And exposure can be really difficult, especially for someone who may struggle with mental health. So we all are certainly experiencing Zoom fatigue. And so, you know, thinking about cooking together or watching a movie together virtually, you know, that might be something that would be helpful, to be able to do virtually things that you don't have to talk as much, but you can sort of still be together. But ultimately, I want people to know that there are resources that are available, and that is the National Alliance on Mental Health, on Mental Illness, or NAMI, is here in Minnesota. There, I want to give you that number and share that with your listeners, which is 1-888 NAMI helps, or 1-888-626-4435. And you can also text the crisis line, which is crisis. If you text crisis to 274-747, that's 274-747. So there are mental health resources available out there for folks, and we've tried to boost those up a little bit more through the COVID relief funds as well. But the folks at NAMI are amazing and can get you hooked up or connected if you or someone that you love or care about is struggling with mental health right now.
We had another question that came in. A news story on Wednesday said that the CDC is changing the definition of close contact. I think this previously meant someone who you were in contact with for 15 minutes, closer than 6 feet. But the new definition says close contact could mean a total of 15 minutes over several hours. Is that how you understand this? And is that a big deal?
Yeah, so, you know, here in Minnesota, we are still, through our Department of Health, we're still using the definition of 6 feet or closer and 15 minutes or more. But I would say, you know, that CDC guideline, I heard about that on Wednesday as well. I think it's smart. And I think it's smart because it gives you a better sense of how COVID, spreads and hangs in the air. And it is, I think a helpful message coming from the CDC to encourage people to know that, you know, if it's like, oh, 14 and a half minutes, like maybe you're actually spending, you know, a little bit more time thinking about, those exposures. And so I think it's helpful guidance at a time when some of the guidance has been a little unclear coming out of the CDC.
We heard from a mom this week of a college student. She wrote in, my daughter's been away at college all fall. Her school's actually doing pretty well containing COVID. She's going to come home at Thanksgiving and then stay home to finish out the semester. That's how the school has set it up. Should I make her quarantine in her room for 14 days? Or should I make her get tested before I let her in the door at home? I'm trying to figure out how to best handle this. Thank you for your help.
This is really hard. And so there's things that I don't know about, about your situation. And the primary question that I would ask is there anyone in the home who is high risk, or who may have underlying conditions that put them at risk, for COVID? I think that that has a little something to do about how much I would isolate away from family. As much as you can, I think, you know, the mask wearing, the distancing, keeping good airflow, I think is also important. Would say that generally the Department of Health is, you know, there's not a need if you don't have symptoms. But if testing is readily available to your daughter and her community, perhaps one of the new saliva testing sites that we've set up across the state, it doesn't hurt to go get tested and determine, if she may be asymptomatic or not. But the thing that I would say right now as a mom would be, it's time to have that conversation. It's time to have that conversation now to prepare, about expectations for the rest of the semester. So, you know, is she following the public health guidelines to limit exposure before she comes home? What would isolation and sanitization look like in your home? Is there a way for her to stay in her room and use, you know, one bathroom? Those kinds of things. Would wearing a mask for a week or two be feasible in your home to limit spread? I just think it's time to have a mother-daughter conversation about what expectations are now and then what they will be when she comes home, and just talk about it. These are all, you're not alone. There are families who are thinking about this and dealing with this all across the state of Minnesota. So I appreciate this question. But more than anything, it is continuing to follow the guidelines and being as safe as possible. And I am happy that your daughter can come home and be with you for the rest of the semester and for Thanksgiving.
Just one more, not that it is a quick question, but one more question we heard. Are we going to have another lockdown in Minnesota? There are all sorts of rumors flying.
So I would say this, we are monitoring the situation closely, and no decisions have been made, despite what you read on the internet. And, you know, I think I'm concerned, you know, of course, to see the rising number of cases in Minnesota, and of course the surrounding states, and we need to take that really seriously. But whenever a decision is made, we will be sure to communicate changes and expectations for the people of Minnesota. The turning of the dial one way or the other is something that we take tremendously seriously, which is, you know, why anything that you have heard on Twitter or Facebook, if it says it's happening one way or the other, it's just simply false. So we will do, you know, what we do and communicate effectively with folks across the state of Minnesota. But right now, just continue to do the things to keep yourself and your loved ones and your community overall safe. And I will not miss the opportunity to tell you that it is time to get that flu shot if you haven't already. It takes about 2 weeks for it to kick in, so now is the time to get it. You can go to your local pharmacy many times, your local healthcare provider, check and see if there's opportunities to get it in your community. My family, we all just got ours. My daughter opted for the shot rather than the nose spray, and I think she's a little tough cookie for it. And so, if a 7-year-old can get her flu shot, so can you.
That is Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Thanks so much for your time with us today, and have a great weekend.
You too, Heidi. Thanks so much.
Thanks. This broadcast is a collaboration of community radio stations throughout the state of Minnesota in partnership with Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities, also the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Listen to the full conversation at kaxe.org. And if you want to ask a question to the Lieutenant Governor, email covid@ampers.org or call 612-562-9895. I'm Heidi Holton for KAXE KBXE. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.